I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago,
Oh my
and
God,
I
how'd it
got
go?
complimented. Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented, and I was like, well, they're Spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I won't name. But
This
if you
ain't
love this album, you're
Texas.
gonna this ain't Texas. You're gonna want your Tecovas, you know? This ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience, it's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is a story called North Dakota Keeps Native Josh Duhamel On as State's Tourism Pitchman. This is big North Dakota tourism news. It's making the rounds.
It made the AP Wire. It was a huge deal.
Here's the lead. Bismarck, North Dakota. Even North Dakota's tourism director admits it isn't easy promoting a state where the first day of the new year brought temperatures down to a brutal 45 below zero. Then you have a photo of Josh Duhamel smiling. And then it says, but having Hollywood actor and Minot, how do we say it was pronounced? Minot?
I have no idea.
Minot,
Mm-mm.
Native?
No.
But having Hollywood actor and Minot native Joshua make the pitch helps, says Sarah Oat Coleman, who heads the state tourism agency. This is a great line. He has increased awareness, she says. So he has increased awareness. Anyway, they extended his contract. He's made hundreds of thousands of dollars being the North Dakota spokesperson. TMZ reported his salary. He's made $525,000 since 2013. He's making $365,000 next year. And this is the best line.
This
pointed
is a great
out to
gig.
Us,
he doesn't need to do any movies. He's just going to keep shilling North Dakota.
I know. It's great. This is the best line. The agency also unveiled its $2.9 million marketing plan for 2018. It announced that Duhamel would be paid $365,000 to be the face of the state's tourism campaign for the next 2 years. The actor wasn't present at the announcement. He wasn't there.
There's something like extremely charming about knowing the budget for the state of North Dakota's marketing and also knowing how much of that budget goes to Hollywood actor Josh Duhamel.
And the other thing that I thought was really funny about this story has nothing to do with Josh Duhamel at all. I saw that it was on TwinCities.com. And I was like, oh, it's a story from Minneapolis-St. Paul. But then I was like, why would Minneapolis-St. Paul be writing about North Dakota? That's weird. And then I was like, is there another Twin Cities in North Dakota that has TwinCities.com? And so I Googled, what are the Twin Cities in the United States? There are so many places who have Twin Cities in the United
States. There are
States.
A lot like of Twin Cities.
They call themselves, oh, we're the Twin Cities. And it's, you think Minneapolis-St. Paul, like that's iconic. But there is a Twin Cities in North Dakota. Turns out this was the Minneapolis-St. Paul Twin Cities. They just happened to write about the story.
Okay.
I guess it was that interesting.
Okay.
So can you guess, just for fun, can you guess what the Twin Cities are in North Dakota?
I don't even know what a city is in North Dakota. Wasn't that the entire plot of the last time we talked about North Dakota?
Fargo, North Dakota, and okay. Moorhead, Minnesota. Those are the Twin Cities.
They're not in the same state.
They're not, but they're twin, but they're nearby. They're on the border.
You can't just make two. Why are they twins?
I don't know, but the twin city, I thought it would be funny to be like, oh, let's look at the who's and them's of the Twin Cities in on the Wikipedia, but they're all who's. The only one that's a them is Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Well, they call them Twin Cities to give them some sort of identity so people will go there. Like, oh, yes, the Twin Cities.
It's it doesn't, I don't buy it.
I really don't understand. I don't even understand the concept of Twin Cities.
Then there's Texarkana, Arkansas and Texarkana, Texas. But that barely counts because they literally are the same city.
Oh, they're twins because they have the same name?
Well, no. Texarkana, Arkansas and Texarkana, Texas are twins because the state line literally goes through the middle of downtown.
This just reminds me of like that the movie Road Trip, you know, where they're like on the road trip and he says...
Tom Green?
Yeah, and remember he says... He says Boston, but she thinks he says Austin. Remember, that's like the whole movie is like, well, they mix up Austin and Boston.
But I've never actually seen Road Trip.
Oh, you haven't, but you know, like the
no,
like
I know what it's about because right. It was a big deal. It was like, oh, it's Austin because you know from Texas. Yeah, right. That was like, no, the Tom Green movie is Boston. About Austin.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all I can think of when I think of Twin Cities. It should only be cities that have rhyming names. Not, I don't understand the other criteria for Twin City.
Okay, it's not rhyming names.
Yeah.
They're like economies depend on each other. It's like is Minneapolis, St. Paul. They're the same. They like they rely on each other. They're basically the same
I feel
city.
Like you're just making this up.
Like
I don't
metro
really,
areas
I don't
are
know
big. They're like
really,
they
know.
Blend together. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's start the show.
You will trailer. Yeah.
They want to know. Hey.
Okay, Lindsay. What is the most markless headline of the week?
Well, let me tell you, the most markless headline of the week comes from, I think this is people.com.
It's people.com. You
is
can
this
tell by
their
the
iconic royals section?
It is. It's people royals.
Okay. I love people royals. Love people royals. And the headline is, Meghan Markle is the namesake for the newest addition to the London Zoo. So you're like, what did they name this new animal, and what is a new animal? And the answer is the new animal is an okapi. Is that how you pronounce it?
I actually think it is. It's oak. I think it's okapi.
Okapi.
It might be okapi, but I think it's okapi.
Okapi.
Yeah.
Also known as the forest giraffe or the zebra giraffe.
Mm-hmm.
It's and its adorable. Name, I guess, is Megan.
It's Megan. They named it Megan with an H. They spelled it her way.
Here's a terrible name for any animal. Megan. And not like Meghan Markle related, just like a terrible name for an animal is Megan. Like, have you ever met a cat named Megan?
No, but now that I'm thinking about it, if like you went to someone's house and they were like, oh, this is my cat. Don't mind my cat. That's Megan. You would think that's really funny. That's charming.
You would be like, excuse me, your cat's name is Megan?
Naming like domestic pet animals after very like basic names. Is funny.
Yeah.
Like
it's
my
very
friends
funny.
Have a cat named Steve and I think that's really sweet.
It's very sweet, but also very funny. A cat named Steve.
Anyway, this okapi, the best part about this story, there were several options. We won't read them to you because that's not part of this thing. We don't read you the second place, the third place. It's not about the runners up. But
wait, there were runners up? Who are they?
Yeah, I remember I put all of the... No, I'm saying the runners up for the headlines.
Oh, for the headlines. I thought you meant for the people to name this thing after. I thought Megan wasn't the first one.
This okapi was... From the moment this okapi was born, they knew they were going to name it Megan. They knew.
Fine.
The best thing about this story and the reason it won, I think, is because when you scroll down... First of all, the lead is amazing. Meghan Markle isn't the only new Megan in town. Okay. The best part is it has a photo of Meghan the okapi in the center of the story, but then they put a photo of Meghan Markle, the human who's engaged to Prince Harry, inset into the photo.
Well,
as
you know,
though,
in case you forgot what she looked like.
As though there's a physical resemblance. We don't need to be reminded of what Meghan Markle looks like. Also, it's rude. It suggests that there's a physical
similarity. It suggests that they look alike when this thing looks like a zebra mixed with a giraffe.
It looks like a wild animal.
Yeah.
It's a wild animal.
And they don't look alike. They don't look alike.
There's Megan in case you forgot.
I didn't forget what she looks like. The number one thing I've not forgotten is what Meghan Markle looks like. Her face is everywhere.
I'm going to switch the order here because this is the better segue. Speaking of wild animals.
Oh no, where are you going?
Did you read the story that everyone tweeted at us? The headline is, Dakota Johnson keeps getting skunked. Quote, this was the fourth time in a year. Did you read the story?
No.
So everyone tweeted this at us, which
of course not.
I'm so grateful for. It's such a funny headline. The implication of this headline is that Dakota Johnson, star of the 50 Shades series, has been skunked, as in sprayed by a skunk, four times in 1 year. But the story actually
doesn't really make any sense. So it says, with four films in 2018, life should smell like roses for Dakota Johnson. Okay, Hollywood Reporter, chill out. But she woke up January 7th at her home in the Hollywood Hills to find, quote, a skunk situation. It has become an epidemic. And then she says, this was the fourth time in a year, so I've been having to deal with that. I was trying to figure out what the source of the smell was, and thank God it was someone else's dog, not mine.
So she wasn't skunked.
Right. So what is this? Is she talking about skunks, or is she talking about, like, dog poop? I literally cannot make sense of this story. This does not make sense.
It was like someone else's dog got skunked and she could smell it. But it's not that she's getting skunked. But then she says, what's the
But she says she's been skunked. This story makes no sense. The headline suggests something that the body does not, you know, back up.
See, this is the problem. If, like, there were true journalists, like, on, you know, like, following up with, like, actual questions, you would be like, hold on, can you actually explain?
It's just like Margot Robbie in the foot.
Yeah, this is insane. And now every headline's like, Dakota Johnson keeps getting skunked. It's like, no, well, maybe she wasn't getting skunked.
Maybe she's not getting skunked. I have no idea what to
do. Everyone's too busy being like, she's being seen with Chris Martin, like, she's, oh, like, holding hands with Chris Martin.
That's my favorite story of this week, because no one cares.
No one cares.
No one cares.
The two, like, and least to make interesting people to get together are Chris Martin and Dakota Johnson. What's crazy is that the bottom of this piece, which is in the Hollywood Reporter, I thought you guys were reporters, says a version of this story first appeared in the January 17th issue, which means it got into the magazine and it's still unclear.
It makes no sense.
What happened with Dakota Johnson and the skunks? We need to know.
You know what? I'm going to reach out to our publicist. I'm going to do the work. Okay, guys?
You really should.
I'm going to do the work.
We'll report back.
What if the skunk is just, like, code name for Chris Martin?
Wow.
What if he's just stinky?
I mean, like, this
she's been skunked by Chris Martin four times this year.
I mean, this was the fourth time in a year. That makes sense that she's had to deal with him four times in a year.
Speaking of stinky people, Gerard Butler was on.
Oh my God.
Watch What Happens Live. And I can't take credit for that. Lindsay, earlier we were talking about the episode. Lindsay was like, he looks like he smells.
But, like, I think what I mean by that is, like, I don't think he smells, like, bad. He just looks like he smells, like, weird. Like, he looks like you'd be, like, with him or, like, talking to him or, like, at a bar and you meet him. And you'd be like, something smells, like, kind of off. And you'd be like, oh, it's just, that's what Gerard Butler smells like. Do you know what I mean? And I don't even mean that, like, bad. It's just, like, he definitely looks like he has a signature scent that's not a great.
That's, like, not great, but people might maybe confuse it as sexy, perhaps.
Maybe. He looks like he has
maybe in the moment. In the moment, they think it's sexy. And then when they look back on their shitty relationship with Gerard Butler, they're like, oh, he smells.
Right, right. But he also talks like he smells. He, like, when he talks, you're like, oh, that guy, like, definitely smells.
He talks like a stinky man. That's true.
Okay, but what happened with him?
He went on Watch What Happens Live, which is, as you know, the moment you go and watch What Happens Live, like, good luck. It's sort of like the celebrity version of RIP My Mentions.
Oh my God, you're right.
The moment you go on Watch What Happens Live, you are in for it. And so
he was in for it because he already got called out and then he came on Watch What Happens Live.
So he went on Watch What Happens Live and Andy Cohen, and the moment Andy Cohen just sort of has, like, a non sequitur question, you know it's a nightmare. He's like, so Brandy Glanville, tell me about Brandy Glanville. And he's like, oh boy, oh boy.
I mean, she went on the show in 2012. That's like a thousand years ago. And so it took him this long to get Gerard Butler on the show to even respond to this. Do you realize that? Like, it took him that long. So yeah,
because that, but in 2012, big people weren't going on Watch What Happens.
That's true. It was just Brandy Glanville, who, by the way, yeah. I don't think we've even said she's, like, a housewife.
She's a housewife. But she's the Beverly Hills, right?
She used to be. Not anymore. She's not on anymore. But she is the iconic housewives person that her husband left her for Leanne Rimes. Mm-hmm. And she'll never get over it. And she also what's the deal with her and Sheena from Vanderpump Rules again? Something happened with her.
She's the one who said that Joanna Krupa's pussy smells.
Oh God. Oh my God.
She said that Muhammad Hadid told her, quote, I'm not going around saying pussy people, by the way. I'm quoting her. She's the one who went on Watch What Happens Live and said, Muhammad told me that her pussy smells. And then she literally got sued for it. because it was defamatory.
Oh, and then take it back. And then what I was remembering was that Brandy Glanville's Sheena from Vanderpump Rules had an affair with Brandy Glanville's, with Eddie Cibrian before he went to marry Leanne Rimes. Remember that? Because it was a we talked about this. It was like they had a feud and there was like a weird, like there was a Vanderpump Rules Housewives crossover where mm-hmm. the same scene was filmed for two different shows with two different perspectives. It's really good. So they, because they had like this fight. Anyways, that's like such old news. The new news is that.
You go through this. You've gone through
this
once
already. In 2012, Brandy Glanville went on Watch What Happens Live and she said that she hooked up with Gerard Butler. Totally believable, right? Again, looks like he smells.
Absolutely. Anyone like Josh Duhamel could go on Watch What Happens Live and say he hooked up with Gerard Butler and I'd be like, right. I believe it. Yep.
Brandy, who is the most famous person besides Eddie Cibrian that you have hooked up with?
I can't plead the fifth.
Oh, no, you cannot?
Gerard Butler.
But the best part of this is that later he told a TMZ photographer, as they do, was like, hey, Gerard, like, how was Brandy Glanville? Did you have fun with Brandy Glanville? And he was like, I don't know who that is.
So Brandy Glanville rated you an 11 out of 10 in the lovemaking department. And me personally, I'm a 5 on a good day. So I was wondering if you can give me some tips to bump it up to like a 7 maybe?
Who's Brandy Glanville? That's private property. Who's Brandy Glanville?
I don't know. Man.
But now, when he was on Watch What Happens Live, he said, we had fun and then I never saw her again. Suddenly I was walking down the street with a director and these guys from TMZ are come running down the street going, what about you and Brandy Glanville? And I'm like, who's Brandy Glanville? Because I didn't even know her last name. So basically,
didn't
like,
know her last name.
She didn't tell him. I mean, you can play the audio here. She didn't tell him she did anything. She wasn't like, I'm a famous housewife. Like, good for her. Like, she wasn't like, I'm a thing. Yeah. They just like hooked up. And then
had a good time. He goes out of his way to say, like, we had fun.
I mean, to be fair,
he does not say anything disparaging about her.
Told Andy that they had hooked up. So then the TMZ reporters said to him, Brandy Glanville, and he just thought of this. He didn't know that this random woman that he met and hooked up with one time in like 2011 or 12, like, was this person on a television show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
so Brandy,
love it.
Brandy was mad, like, about the way this was. She wanted to set the record straight. So here's Brandy Glanville setting the record straight on Twitter. Here we go. At TMZ, let's set the record straight. Gerard, no punctuation here. She's never heard of a period.
Yeah,
Let's set the record straight. Gerard Butler hit on me at a party, asked her my phone number, called me up the next day, and asked me out. So if he wants to cringe now, he can fuck off. Gerard Butler did not know, N-O, not K-N-O-W, did not know my last name or what I did. That is true. But he hit on me and asked me out. End of story. Moving on. I'm sorry, but when you meet someone that clearly doesn't know who you are you supposed to be a dick and say bye? I'm famous? ?
Yeah, no,
I love
not.
How many times she says moving on and then just keeps on going. End of story. Moving on. Here we
no
go.
One,
let's keep going.
But no one, this is not, she's like making a mountain out of a molehill. Like she's not, he didn't say anything. He just was like, I didn't know who she was because she didn't tell me who she was.
All you have to do is whisper the name Brandy Glanville and she will tweet a correction.
I know. She's really like. Like, for someone who I don't care about, don't really know that much about outside of Who Weekly stuff, like, I feel like we're always talking about her, and yet I don't encounter her in my normal pop culture life, ever.
Yeah, it's very reactionary. It's very reactionary. What is next on this godforsaken list?
Your list is insane today.
It's insane. I was going crazy. Also, yeah. Can I mention this? I was working on this at a bar yesterday, and then in comes a beer. A beer is delivered to my table. And the server goes, this is from a hooligan. And I was like, oh my God. And the server says, they wish to remain anonymous.
That's the true spirit of a good hooligan. It's like
anyway.
using tabloid terms on us. Also,
yeah, so thank you, hooligan. I don't
you
know
made
who you are, but
the waitress say hooligan, which is
she A+. Said it. She was like, I could tell she had no idea
what was
going on.
What
is going
on?
Giggling. She was like, she goes, this is from a hooligan?
That anyway, poor woman.
It was great. Cherry Seaborn is engaged to Ed Sheeran. Lindsay, who is Cherry Seaborn?
Cherry Seaborn, as you might know this name, there's no way anyone knows who Cherry Seaborn is. No. I do, because I remember this. This is a very British name.
Say
to
why
me,
you
don't
know.
You think?
Oh, it's very British.
Cherry Seaborn is Ed Sheeran's girlfriend, now fiance. They have known each other since they were like 11 years old, mm-hmm, which is like mm-hmm. the perfect famous person thing. Mm-hmm. And they reconnected at Taylor Swift's iconic 4th of July party, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
God, I remember when Taylor Swift like did things that were like mm-hmm. fun and like we laughed at them.
You remember when Taylor Swift had friends?
Like, I mean, so I guess the story is that Taylor Swift had this party, if you remember that party, where there was like the slide in the backyard and they took the photo under the banner of, and it was mm-hmm. her two friends.
They were celebrating their 1 year anniversary there, but no one really right. knew her.
Well, nope.
So it was, no, a, they, it
weren't
was a happy...
they weren't celebrating their 1 year anniversary there.
No, they were celebrating their 1 year anniversary. They were. It was a double party, which was what was so perfectly Taylor about it. It was she Wait, was celebrating that, but... the engagement of her best friend, and then it was Ed's 1 year anniversary.
Okay, but not to nitpick, but in his story, he said that he just reconnected with her there, not that they were together.
It said Ediversary. She put up a banner that said Ediversary.
So maybe it was a different party, not that
maybe
iconic.
Maybe they reconnected
party.
At the party before.
I'm just saying.
I think they reconnected at his... a. They re, here's what it was. They reconnected at a 4th of July party. At her house. Then a year later, the iconic photo happened.
Okay.
And then that's why they celebrated their 1 year anniversary.
I buy that. Because yes, he said that basically Taylor Swift was having a party. She was this friend was in town and he like invited her to the party. He was like, because he said like, can I invite my friend Cherry Taylor to your party? And Taylor was probably like, sure, I guess. This is when Taylor had friends again. And so she came to the party and they reconnected. And like, you know, 20 years later, now they're like getting married.
Yeah. And I really like, there's a really funny, an actually funny photo from that party.
Oh, that photo is so good.
It's Taylor sort of like hugging the back of her two friends who, like her best childhood best friend who just got engaged. So it's an
Abigail
engagement party.
And Abigail someone else. Whatever. She was in her wedding during the time that she was like hiding from the world. Do you remember that? The only photos of her were like in this wedding.
No one had seen her in months. And then no one's heard from me in months. And then she reappears at this wedding.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing about that photo was in the background, Ed Sheeran was making out with some random who, and it was Cherry Seaborn.
So that's when
and
we
that
got
was their
introduced
1 year anniversary of dating.
To Cherry Seaborn, truly.
Yes.
But the best part of that photo is the banner that she made for them. These banners. Yes. Anyways.
So Cherry
Bobby
Seaborn,
did a deep. Bobby did the most insane deep dive on this woman.
Don't say deep dive. It's really not that much. I went to her LinkedIn.
That's enough to be a deep dive.
So what's really funny about Cherry Seaborn is when she has two descriptors. So, you know, like the tabloids have to just like the something something. The nobody wants to be lonely crooner has to, like does this. Cherry Seaborn's two things are field hockey player. Or if you're reading English publications, they just call her a hockey player, which I didn't even know was a thing. Field hockey player, and then
but like
risk
field hockey,
analyst.
Like she
risk
once
analyst.
Did they just find out that she once played field hockey, or does she still
no,
actively
she put,
play?
She moved to the United States to play field hockey.
Okay, but
Duke.
Does she still play field hockey?
No,
right. Okay.
So they're wrong. They call her a field hockey star, but I think she was in college, but she doesn't play anymore. She's too busy at Deloitte. She's a risk analyst.
I'm just saying,
Lindsay.
Field hockey isn't a game. I mean, correct me if I'm no. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. But as somebody who played field hockey in high school, it's not just like a game that you play like. For fun as hobby, like pickup games of field hockey at like the...
Yeah, it's intense. Yeah,
it's like a, you know, it's like a college or high school sport. Anyways,
yes.
Cherry Seaborn, field hockey player. What else did they call her? The risk
She's
advisor?
She's a risk analyst.
Oh,
She's
risk.
A risk analyst, which is the perfect occupation
for
someone
like,
dating Ed.
Yeah.
Because you're like, it's what's that movie? Remember that movie Along Came Polly? It's really bad. But yeah. Ben Stiller is, I think, a risk analyst.
Yeah, he's a actuary.
He's an actuary, so everything he does is, God, I can't believe I'm talking about Along Came Polly. But the whole point of
that
the joke...
That movie's like 99%
movie,
jokes about diarrhea, like getting
the
diarrhea.
The movie is not good, but it is a funny concept to have a guy whose job is literally to overthink everything, dating someone who is sort of a nut, right?
No, that's a good concept for a movie.
It's a good concept. It's a good concept. But this is really perfect. So she's a risk analyst. So she did her job. She analyzed the risk of Ed Sheeran and was like, you know what?
It's low.
I'm I'm content with the risk of you at this point.
Okay? Oh my God. I'm content with the risk of you by...
I'm content with the risk of you.
Ed Sheeran would... that's not good. That is not
good. No red flags go off whenever you're dating Ed Sheeran. You're like, well, I think I'm in the clear.
I mean, no red flags for this redhead. Am I right?
Anyway.
If you can do it, I can do it.
She seems very chill. My favorite part about her LinkedIn is, you know, at the bottom of LinkedIn where people can recommend you on like certain skills.
Mm-hmm.
People have trolled me and they're like, he's good at Java, like Java discussion. It's really stupid. I hate it.
Yeah, I have a lot of jokey LinkedIn recommendations.
Her endorsements are for finance, financial analysis, strategy. And then it says Cherry is also good at business processes, leadership. An enterprise risk.
What did you endorse her for anything while you were there?
No, I sort of want to.
You should.
I should endorse her for enterprise risk. Well, and leadership. She's doing
a good job with this risk management on this new relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Or this relationship.
It is the most like rational, level headed decision to date Ed Sheeran, I think.
Funny like side note, because I'm like here is that I'm in Nashville right now and visiting a friend, and we went to the Country Music Museum, the Country Music Hall of Fame Museum. They have, mm-hmm. it's like the Hall of Fame Museum. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty fun. There's like a lot of stuff to do. There was like a Loretta Lynn exhibit, which was great. And there was a Shania Twain exhibit, which was horrendous because you're like, wow, all these Shania Twain costumes are terribly ugly in person and also very tiny. So it's just like, ugh, gross. Anyways, love Shania Twain, but just saying. Her clothing up close is not as great as you imagine. And so they have the best part about the Country Music Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame.
You got that twang already in Nashville.
It's a mess. So the best part about it is that it exists with Taylor Swift in a bubble. They refuse to recognize Taylor Swift outside of when they recognize Taylor Swift. Do you know what I mean? So they have, there's a Taylor Swift Education Center, which is clearly she donated a bunch of money and they made her this like area for like kids. That's where they teach, like they do guitar lessons. They have like, you know, whatever. And inside the Education Center is like a dress that she wore. So they have this like dress and they have whatever. And then inside the like exhibits, they have a section and they mention Taylor Swift. She's like next to Carrie Underwood, who, by the way, they have her dress the day the when she won American Idol, the dress that she wore, they have that dress.
Oh my God.
Right? A lot of costumes. Anyways, they have a Taylor Swift dress. Of course, it's from the Love Story video. It's just so funny because every photo of Taylor Swift is maybe 4 years old. They refuse to acknowledge her beyond the one, that like very specific time in her life. There is no mm-hmm. acknowledgement of Taylor Swift being any different.
Why would they?
Than when you know? She was. Right. And the other thing is there's no Dixie Chick stuff. So take that as you will.
Wait, there's no Dixie Chick stuff?
Nope.
Wait, what does that mean?
I didn't see one Dixie Chicks thing.
Did they have a beef with the Dixie Chicks?
I think so, because remember how country music like hated them for being rude to the president like 1,000 years ago?
They're still holding on to that?
I'm just saying, like, I don't know the deal, but I didn't see one Dixie Chicks thing, and I saw a lot of garbage from people I'd never heard of. You know?
That's a nightmare.
I mean, they had Florida-Georgia lines.
The Dixie Chicks? All the things the Dixie Chicks did for country music, please.
They had two outfits from each member of the Florida Georgia Line, like, and they didn't have any Dixie Chicks.
I don't even know how many members there are of the Florida Georgia Line.
You know that Florida Georgia Line has a three-floor bar restaurant in Nashville now?
What's it called?
It's called the FGL House, and there was a 90s bar in the basement, and the theme is 90s, and they're just framed photos of 90s things all over the bar. And they play like, this is how we do it. There's a picture of Halle Berry in a frame. There's like just a picture. There's just like a picture of like Goodfellas in a frame.
Just a photo of Halle Berry in like 1994.
In a frame. Plastered to the wall.
God, that reminds me of Mystic Pizza, kind of.
Anyway, Nashville's a crazy place because you have, you know, honky-tonk bars. And then you have the FGL House. And then you have like, you know... Margaritaville, and then Blake Shelton's opening a place on the road, on the street. Then you go into another bar that's owned by Dierks Bentley and they play a cover of Sublime. It's like, what's happening in this town?
Have you had any Goo Goo clusters?
I had a Goo Goo. Of course I had a Goo Goo. Well, guess what's next to the Goo Goo clusters factory?
What?
The FGL house. No, the FGL house.
Oh, but that's also where the Johnny Cash Museum is.
I know, but Johnny Cash has to look at the FGL house. The ghost of Johnny Cash wakes up and looks across the street and sees Florida Georgia Line has a 3-story bar restaurant.
That's wild. That's wild. You.
I know. I'm like mad, but I love Nashville.
Was Bebe Rexha there? Was Bebe Rexha like working tables?
No, but like they should give her, you know, she got them a number one.
She did. It's all Bebe Rexha's doing. We know that.
But one of the most coveted tickets in town isn't just to a concert.
What's up, y'all? It's your boys, BK and Tyler, Florida Georgia Line.
Florida Georgia Line has opened their own 4-story restaurant in downtown Nashville just in time for CMA Fest. And we got an all-access tour.
You come here 3 or 4 times and not see everything.
So this is one of our favorite levels because we can kind of observe the party, take it all in.
Let's go eat. Come on.
Take a bite of that, too. It
makes you want to dance. It's so good.
Food and drinks. It brings people together.
Do we want to do... What do we want to do next? There's a few more things. I think Khalees bought the farm. We don't have much time left.
I think the most iconic relationship that we're not talking about is the one that I really feel like you didn't acknowledge, which is Millie Bobby Brown's new boyfriend, Jacob Sartorius.
I didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, well,
okay, tell me about Jacob Sartorius. Okay, he's 14? Millie Bobby Brown's 12?
Fans have been speculating for months that the friendship between the Stranger Things star 13 and the Chapstick singer 15 may have evolved into a relationship. Okay, I'm sorry. If you're 13 and 15, you can't have a relationship. A source tells Us Weekly, this source should go to jail. They've been spending a lot of time together. She posted a photo with him on her Instagram story last of October, and they have since exchanged several flirty comments, shut down their social medias immediately.
Jesus Christ. Honestly, send that source to Rikers Island right away.
If you don't know, Millie Bobby Brown is, you know, she's in Stranger Things, and that's pretty much it. Call me if she does anything else of note, because, like, I'll be waiting by the phone. Sorry, and that's
Jacob
shady.
Sartorius
she's 13.
Is what, a singer?
And Jacob Sartorius is a Vine star, like, who did a song. He was one of the first, not Vine, I'm sorry, oh my god, I'm an idiot. Jacob Sartorius is a Musical.ly star. Remember when we talked about him with Musical.ly? He was the first Musical.ly star to break out and have a song. His first song was called Sweatshirt. His second song, or whatever, maybe his third, I don't know, is called Chapstick. And I think they're both about what the song title is.
So one's about a sweatshirt, one's about a chapstick. Okay.
He's a baby, he's 15, she's a baby, she's 13, and apparently they're flirting and dating, and I hate this. I hate it a lot. And I really hate that we're gonna have to hear sources say blah 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 about it.
I hate it. The last thing, we can skip this thing about Jesse Williams because it's just like sad and weird, but
I don't like it.
It's funny. I just loved I love the boss up headline, cheaper to keep her. Because now that he's divorced his wife and like started dating someone else, like Minka Kelly, right? Or then they broke up anyway. He has pay his ex $50,000 a month in spousal support now.
So they're just saying like, they're saying would be cheaper if you kept her. Yeah.
Yeah. Cheaper to keep her.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Lindsay, what's Rita up to?
Oh boy, Bobby, did you see she released a sponsored song?
I did.
Sometimes I don't think I get more obsessed with Rita Ora, and then she does something that's so utterly perfect. Like what artist just goes so above and beyond? Like, she released a sponsored content song. She's perfect.
She hasn't, you notice, you get on Spotify and it's like, oh, Rita Ora has a new single. And then you click on it and then you look at the
four album gay
art,
people.
And it matches the era. The album art matches her current like aesthetic. But then you look at the bottom right corner of the album art and it says absolute, as in absolute vodka.
Bobby, as a gay person, how do you feel about Rita Ora's song for gay people sponsored by Absolute?
I feel like she's really amplifying and uniting the voices of people across the nation to spark a much needed change in today's conversation.
Stop. It's crazy that Rita Ora like invented gay people. Like, if you think about it, it's like this song is actually like the beginning. Like, before this song, like, there were no gay people, and now there are gay people.
But the problem is, really, Rita Ora has been releasing hit after hit after hit. it ends there because she's released three hits. This one is not good.
I wonder, it's like, did when she signed on to do this bad song for gay people, was this when she didn't have good songs? She was like, no one will notice because it just will fit in with the other songs I have that are kind of okay.
She must not have known that like she would have three chart toppers.
This is ruining her track record. Like, it truly is. And also, she like made a song that's like truly not in the spirit of Pride because it's so bad and not a banger.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, like it takes away from the spirit of Pride.
The other thing Rita's up to is she's starting her 50 Shades promo cycle because, you know, she's the only one who matters.
Comes out on February Valentine's 14th, Day? Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This line. She was talking to Us Weekly, love them, about her role in the new 50 Shades movie. And she says, quote, "It's definitely a little bit more scary because I get kidnapped and Dakota Johnson's character goes out on a mission to save me."
Wow, Rita, total
also,
spoiler.
Also, Us Weekly spells Dakota Johnson wrong, which is perfect.
Johnston.
It's not Johnston at all.
Again.
So Rita Ora is going to get kidnapped in the 50 Shades movie, which means we have to see it.
Okay, remember that shot from the trailer where everyone thought it was Rita Ora tied up in a chair? That was probably Rita Ora tied up in a chair.
It was.
Because she was kidnapped. She confirms. Okay, well, now I have to see this movie as if I wasn't going to see it. Now I have to see it.
And she's sad that it's over.
Well, I mean, she doesn't get to be in another movie, confirmed.
Well, she'll be in, what is that, Wonderland with Carrie
Fisher. It's never coming out. Wonderwell is never coming out.
Wonderwell. Anyway, we're done today. So thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's. Thank you to everyone who continues to rate and review us on iTunes. Your reviews are so good. They're so good.
Yeah, they're good. Thank you to Rita Ora for the song for Pride, you know, for yes. Finally shining light on an issue.
Thank you to the state of North Dakota for giving a little extra money to Josh Duhamel. We know he needs it.
He needed like a little, running around. What do you call it? Like not knock around, money. Like fun money. He needed like money. A little bit like daytime money, just some money to spend on some like trinkets.
He needed a little fun money. Thank you to, Cherry Seaborn for analyzing the risk and deciding that Ed Sheeran was worth your time.
Thank you to an Okapi named Megan that I will maybe one day visit at the London Zoo.
Yeah. And no thank you The Hollywood Reporter for not putting in the work because we don't know what happened with the skunk.
Yeah. That's still a mystery.
I'm going to find out.
If anybody knows any more information about that, can you like call us on our tip line? That's 619 who them. It's yes, the same number, but it is our tip line. If you know something about the skunk, not like about skunks in general, do not need like information on skunks, but like about this specific incident, call us.
See you Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.
You will drain it. Yeah.
They want to know.
To be famous.
It is the most like rational, level-headed decision to date Ed Sheeran, I think.
That was a HeadGum podcast.